soldering our machine so it could work to be able to party with them.
Nice.
Yeah, it really like make soldering something more like casual.
Say like that women can do it very well because it's fine.
It's like sewing.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
So I already
like
had like
factories and stuff.
Yeah.
Four connectors is a little bit too much time. And then when I started doing electronic projects, my boyfriend was helping me and he was very helping me and he was doing it all. So I didn't really touch the soldering iron for a long time and my boyfriend was doing everything. So I think I've tried once to do something and it didn't work and I was like, oh, do it yourself. But then I took a workshop with Stephanie and we were doing contact mics and binary mics and a small circuit. And I was like, oh yeah, I know how to solder but not much, you know, like I'm not very good. And I started, I was like, oh yeah, I'm very good. I can do it. I know how to do it. And I kind of realized that I was able to do it when my boyfriend was not beside me. And at the time, I was screaming in the room, I like doing electronic without my boyfriend. My boyfriend did it.
How can you excel
like
in soldering?
Yeah.
Does it work or not?
Yeah, for me, it's like this time. Does it work or not?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Does it stay working? Or
no, it's like in a fraction of a second. Flocks and the sound and the whole process is extremely joyful and I learned also something really interesting is that and it's something maybe I'll say it but don't feel I'm criticizing or anything. It's something I've noticed and I've noticed for myself first and I'm working on it is that and I feel like also it's related to the fact of being a woman and doing something that is related to man expertise. We are very apologetic about like the way we're doing our things. Like, oh, I feel bad. I'm sorry. I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm not really good at it. Or and I notice we all kind of say that without really realizing the words and how it has a big impact also. And I started to change my way of talking about it, being myself first, less apologetic about the mess I was doing. I'm like, yeah. It's messy, it doesn't work, so what? And I've been learning a lot from that. Like, it changed me. Soldering changed me and changed the way I took a stand for myself. But I learned that from doing messy job and then just assuming, comment on dit en anglais?
Assuming,
like the mess and not caring about it and even doing work and saying, yeah, it's gonna auto-destruct, like doing mechanical, cinetic work that was like by the end of
destroying.
Yeah, and that's what it's meant to be. And seeing all of this process as being very vivant,
alive.
Yeah, the whole thing, and what you do with it, and the sound that you do with it, and the way it looks, and also using for me. Soldering circuits, electronic components, it's beautiful. It's like jewelry, and it's like, and it's alive also. And we were talking earlier about errors and failure, and I felt like when our circuit doesn't work, I'm happy because it looks good. Learn something because it's not working. If it would have worked the first time, I would have learned nothing. When it's not working, I start going on my computer, doing, okay, what the stupid diagram for that IC, and I try to sort of understand and compare, and then I'm learning something because it's not working. And some of them it never will, but it's okay. And it's part of everything.
Yeah. So yeah, I miss it, and I also like the smell actually.
So
okay, so we are in Tiotake and Sedin Mohawk territory, also known by colonialists as Montreal. We are in front of Studio Ixis, and this is the third day of the Trans Hack Feminist Camp, and we are sitting in the street occupying a parking spot. With us, we have Techno Libre, who is going to present themselves, and they are here in relation with this important thematic, which is the autonomy of infrastructure.
Okay, great. So yeah, I'll introduce myself. My name's Cassie, and along with my friend Ariel and Jamie, we started Techno Libre a few months ago, almost a year ago. It's just been kind of slow getting going, but yeah, so Techno Libre is a collective based on the Free Geek model, which exists in a few cities around North America. So I guess I just wanted to see if there's, yeah, if people here were familiar with Free Geek.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. So, sorry.
Where are the other?
In Canada, there's one in Toronto and Vancouver, mm-hmm. and then there's one in Portland, maybe Providence. I'm not sure. In the States, there's a few, but I'm not sure outside of Portland where the other ones are. But yeah, so Free Geek started in Portland and then spread around. So it's basically a loose model, and there's like a variety of them, but they're all autonomous from one another, and they all look a little bit different. So some are a bit more corporate, and others are a bit more radical, and sort of the way they approach what they do kind of varies from city to city. But basically the model is focused on increasing access to technology and open source software and disrupting planned obsolescence. So it's like a computer refurbishing and recycling center and community center.
Nothing. I might know the one in Providence.
Okay, yeah. So the idea is that get computer donations from the community and potentially from institutions, and then refurbish what we can, and then the rest gets recycled as ethically as possible, which means partnering with recyclers that use closed-loop systems and don't ship to landfills overseas, and try to get as close to zero waste as possible. All the computers that are refurbished have an open source operating system installed on them, which is how part of how the project is able to support itself, because it's free. And then either get donated to volunteers or community organizations, or resold at an accessible price through our thrift shop. And any money that's made through the selling of hardware just goes directly back into supporting the project. So it's totally non-profit. And the idea is really to make it a community space. So the refurbishing is done by volunteers, and you don't have to have any previous hardware knowledge to become a volunteer. You can come and learn how to refurbish a computer, and also other things like cell phones and potentially tablets and smartphones. But once you volunteer for 24 hours, you get a free desktop computer. Other desktops get donated to like social justice organizations and places in the community that need them. So there's the sort of refurbishing side and the recycling side. But beyond that, we hold open help nights that are based around open source software and trying to support people in learning how to use it, because since we will be putting Linux on all the computers, we want to also provide a support system for people who have never used Linux to be able to start and make it accessible, and then potentially also other types of open source software that do different things. But people can come to the open help nights to learn, but also if there's a problem with their computer, we'll like help them fix it and like show them how to do it, as long as their computer runs Linux. So that's the basic model, and it's one that, yeah, we thought there was really a space for in Montreal, especially because there are a few computer refurbishing projects in the city, and it's also possible that I might not know of all of them, but as Anne said, they're not so focused around open source software, so we really wanted to take the Free Geek model, but also make it kind of as radical and anti-oppression oriented as possible. Like, I really like thinking about the refurbishing system and how volunteers come and learn as kind of like a co-op bike garage, but for computers. So we're hoping that it will disrupt the cycle of planned obsolescence that just means like that computers constantly get thrown into the trash and e-waste just grows and grows and people need to buy new hardware all the time. But also doing it in a way that's like empowering to people and just like reframes the relationship that people have with technology. Sorry, did you have a question?
No, it was just if there is a car, if you could, like, for a moment, because otherwise we,
no problem.
And it's part of it, but...
Yeah, no problem. I won't talk for too much longer, but just when we started... So, yeah, Technolib is just our French version of Free Geek, but we really wanted to... Yeah, like, it's not quite up and running yet. We're about to start pushing for donations and start refurbishing... we'll talk more about where the project's at later, but it was like started by women and trans folks, and we waited quite a while before deciding to open up the collective, because we just want to be really conscious of accessibility in the space and like who feels intimidated or welcome in the space, and so just wanted to make sure that it's like constantly rooted in like these ideas of like gender empowerment, but also empowerment on like other axes of oppression that people might face, and we're hoping that maybe part of the discussion that we have today can be a brainstorm about ideas that people have, because we're just setting up this space now, so we haven't necessarily thought of everything, and people might have different thoughts about what feels like access to them. Like, for example, one of the principles that we wanted to take from Free Geek Vancouver is that, Free Geek Vancouver is large enough that they do have some staff, but the volunteers, only do activities that are like educational and related to refurbishing, so they're really getting something out of it, and all of the more like basic menial tasks like sweeping the space and cleaning up like are done by the paid staff so that it's not exploitative. And so we were talking about how we really wanted to do that in Montreal too, but then somebody brought up, who had actually been to Free Geek Vancouver, that being able to do more basic things as somebody that was coming to the space to learn and didn't already have tech knowledge or like hardware knowledge, like things like sweeping or just like punching hard drives, made it feel more accessible to them, because it meant that they could come and hang out in the space and participate in the space for a while before starting to learn the technical side of things, so that it was less intimidating to them. So it's just kind of questions like that, like what is fair and what seems accessible, but also just like when we eventually have our own space, how can it feel not intimidating? Because I really like the co-op bike garage analogy, but I've also been to a lot of co-op bike garages in Montreal that felt like very like hectic and bro-y and like not actually accessible to me, so we want to kind of like think.
What was the word that you said? Co-op.
Oh, I said bro-y, but just like
bro-y.
Co-op bike bro-y?
Oh, co-op bike garages.
Wait, what is that?
Garages.
Oh yeah, so there's a lot of places in Montreal where like you can go fix your bike, but and it's free, and they have tools, and they have volunteers, and they'll help you learn how you can fix your bike yourself, so then you know how to do it next time, and it's like a learning experience and empowering.
Bike garages.
Yeah, bike garages.
Bike garage.
Garage.
Garages.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's not exactly the same for computers, but I like to think of it kind of in that way. But also those other spaces, I've had experience of feeling alienated or overwhelmed in them. So I'm just like, want to be really conscious when we're building this space about how it cannot feel that way to people, especially because like, things like related to tech or like, especially like personally, like I'm also just learning about refurbishing. So it's like things where it's really easy to feel like, okay, I could never do that. already coming into it. So yeah, how can we like encourage people to get involved and feel like it's accessible and empowering?
Maybe one little question is like, at the moment you don't have yet a specific space.
Yeah, we do. We have a shared space, but it's small, so we can get started there. But we eventually, hopefully soon, want to get our own, probably a loft space in an industrial building, hopefully one that has like a service elevator, so we can at least make it somewhat physically accessible to folks with a bit of help. But yeah, we're going to need like a lot of space for the refurbishing and for storing materials, donations, recycling, and then also we'll have like a thrift shop in the space where people can come and like buy like cheap computers.
And then do you have an online space, like a website, which is referring to...
So we sort of do. Right now it's very basic, like WordPress.com, but the URL is technolib.org, and we're in the process of building a regular website that has more information, so hopefully that'll be up soon.
Maybe I stopped the recording here because you gave such a nice introduction that people feel more like less pressure by this device.
Yeah, sure, that sounds good.
Because you weren't. Yeah, otherwise, it's, yeah, it's then the